and welcome to Inside the Post-Dispatch, the podcast that brings you into our St. Louis newsroom to give you a behind-the-scenes look at the stories people are talking about. In each podcast, you'll hear from Post-Dispatch reporters and others about what didn't make it into print or onto stltoday.com to give you more insight into the stories from around the region that we're covering. I'm Leah Thorson. I cover transportation and write the weekly Along for the Ride column that runs online every Saturday and in print on Sunday.
And I'm Samantha Liss, and I write about the business of healthcare. Today we're talking with Ashley Jost, the new higher education reporter for the Post-Dispatch. Welcome, Ashley.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Ashley previously worked at the Kansas City Business Journal and the Columbia Daily Tribune, where she covered the University of Missouri and other higher ed issues, and she's also a St. Louis native. She's jumping into her new beat with a story coming this Sunday about a significant year ahead for Mizzou, which has seen its share of controversy lately.
Okay, Ashley, so I'm going to try to summarize this here and see if I'm catching up. I mean, it's kind of a long list. So we had the graduate assistants who are upset with the university about losing benefits. Mm-hmm. We had the legislators who were angry because the school had ties to Planned Parenthood. And then there was a lot of national attention when students protested after a series of racist incidents. And during that time, the system president resigned, the chancellor left his office. Throw in Melissa Click, the professor who summoned muscle to keep away a student photojournalist documenting the protests. And now we likely have a drop in enrollment. So it's a lot. So talk about what it's like coming into a new beat when you have all this already there and you're catching up on it, you're learning about it, and now you're covering it moving forward.
Yeah, so I actually left the higher ed beat, I guess it was February of 2015, so really it feels like a long time ago, but I guess it wasn't. And you know, that was the time when Ferguson had already happened. Mm-hmm. Students reacted to Ferguson very strongly. There were already protests on campuses, on Mizzou's campus in particular, but obviously across the country. And I kind of caught the tail end of that. So okay. That was sort of, that was happening. And then, you know, a couple months later, it I don't want to say exploded from there, but sort of did. So it's kind of weird coming at the beginning and then coming after it's over.
Yeah.
it is, there's a lot of catching up to do. Totally different administration now than when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice time, though, to get back into it because I'll hopefully hit the ground running when new people are brought in. Mm-hmm. And they're expecting to have a new University of Missouri system president by the end of 2016.
Oh.
So, yeah. And then kind of the chancellor and deans and everything on Mizzou's campus will just sort of trickle down from there.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So you spent a couple of days in Columbia this week talking to students moving in and their parents about what they're expecting this school year. What did people tell you?
Yeah. So I talked to, it was funny, I did a whole bunch of interviews prior to going to Columbia and then ended up scrapping almost all of those because I talked to so many people who were just had more color on move-in day and had mm-hmm. more to talk about and more, more passion or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
While they're moving their kids into their freshman dorms, the consensus from every parent, every incoming freshman, was hoping this is a year of peace, hoping that the reason that they're there is for their education, mm-hmm. and that, you know, that's still the main goal, the main purpose of the university. That hasn't really changed too much over the last, you know, century or however long the system's been around and Mizzou's been around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they want for their kids. There was one parent who, as she was moving her, or unloading her car, they had helpers who were out mm-hmm. there helping unload cars. And the helper who happened to be there to grab her stuff from her was the student body president, Sean Earl, who is in the story. And she got to talking, and Sean is an African American man, and this woman and her son are also African American, and they were talking about the campus climate.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you know, I wanted to keep the conversation light, but I had to address the elephant in the room with him.
Mm-hmm.
And she felt great afterwards. You know, he assured her that they were hurting, but now they're healing, which was, you know, I'm sure she seemed relieved.
Yeah.
So she had been concerned about what kind of environment is my daughter going into? Is there going to be things I should be worried about? Was that her concern?
Yeah. She makes it sound like, to some level, you know, she's an aware parent. She actually, it's her son, so she's like, you know, I don't want to send him off into a pained place. Mm-hmm. But she knew that the campus was safe. That was not really her concern prior to talking to, you know, it was really happenstance that he was there. But prior to talking to him, she still felt confident about it. But she felt even better hearing, you know, they're healing and it'll be fine. And my son will get to be part of that healing process.
Yeah. Maybe we should backtrack just a little bit. I mean, the height of the problems on campus last year really originated from Jonathan Butler's hunger strike after he felt like the Black students were, that they weren't being listened to. Can you sort of revisit that whole issue?
Yeah, it was, and almost every single person I talked to used the same term to describe that point in last fall is a perfect storm, is what everyone called it. Legislators called it that, alumni called it that, and it's accurate. I mean, when Butler, you know, I can't remember the exact order this all happened in at this point, because there, unfortunately, was so much going on, but Butler's hunger strike happened, the football team protested, and that's, you know, that was a huge trigger for a whole lot of people, because people might not be Mizzou alum or students or parents, but they might be football fans.
And they were upset with, those students were upset with what exactly?
You're upset with a couple of things. There was a response that the university system president gave, Tim Wolf, who resigned a little while later, but he was approached, and I can't remember what parade it was, but he was approached by students afterwards. I think it was that day, because they had protested, tried to stand in front of his car in the parade. And later on, they were asked, they asked him what his definition of systematic oppression, I think it was.
Something like that.
And his response just didn't go over well. And I can't even remember what his, I remember him saying, like, something to the extent of, like, no matter what he said, he wasn't going to win in this conversation. And I think it was, like, I won't even speculate. But, you know, a lot of students were very upset about that. That was among the triggers.
And then they came up with a list of sort of demands that they wanted, or improvements that they wanted to affect change on campus, right? And so that's kind of like what the controversy was over, is those demands, and then Butler's hunger strike until those demands were met?
No, so some of the demands, no, you're fine. I mean, that's part of this, not issue, but part of this situation is how complex it is. And the demands actually, there are time frames on some of them. I think the one that I mentioned in the story is students ask that we increase the number of faculty and staff on campus to where by 2017-2018 school year, 10% of campus faculty and staff are African American. And I think it, I don't remember what the current percentage is. But that would be, that's an undertaking, because hiring faculty, tenured faculty and tenured track faculty is, it's a huge deal. It's not an overnight thing. And staff might be different. I don't really know the process. But, yeah, so there were some concerns about, like, the demands, for example, because it's, you know, some people were calling them unreasonable. You don't understand maybe the process of hiring tenured faculty. And that was a big concern at the time. I actually found this website when I was working on my story. It's, like, thedemands.org, I believe. And it's got Mizzou's at the top. And then a slew of other schools that have created some form of demands as well since then.
Interesting. Yeah.
So you say in your story that that freshman enrollment's down, and we're kind of waiting on final figures, so we're not sure by how much. I mean, can you talk a little bit about that? Do you have a sense of by how much, or what administrators are planning for or expecting?
Sure. So there are two different numbers. There are applications, which I think we referenced in an earlier story from maybe May or April, looking at the number of students who've even applied as incoming freshmen, and those were down by like 900, which it's still like 19,000, right? So that's a huge number, and applying isn't really indicative of a whole lot, because think about when you applied for schools, you probably sent out a ton of applications and just kind of hoped for what came back. Exactly. So kind of the number that we're relying on as more so of an indicator is the number of students who have paid this $300 deposit, enrollment deposit. Because you're more likely to put that money down if you're serious than just applying. So those numbers are down, it's 1,400 and something, almost 1,500 students. And that number is like 4,700, I think, total. And this will be the first time, if that number is in fact indicative of how many students are showing up for class on Monday, that will be the lowest lowest freshman class since 2007, I believe.
Hmm.
Almost a decade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually, I was just thinking about this the other day. I was visiting my parents. I was unloading my stuff in 2006.
At Mizzou.
So that's interesting. But one of the questions that I had, because I always thought this, like every year for the longest time, Mizzou claimed to have a record-breaking freshman class. But might this be a product of other trends, like that leveling off? Because I was always wondering, like, when will this level off, this record enrollment?
Yeah. I don't have a crystal ball, so I don't know. You know.
Sorry.
And that is kind of an argument, though, from some people on campus, and some officials are saying, well, keep in mind, yes, it's lower, and yes, there could be factors like what happened in November, but we're seeing different trends in graduation from high school students. And, it'd be really difficult without seeing where these students are coming from. I don't know, having to look at maybe all the state institutions to see if that's really the case. But I don't know the numbers. I know Missouri State University in Springfield is having a record-breaking year.
Oh, okay.
Beyond record. I mean, they're doing extremely well. And other schools are as well. So, I don't know.
And recruiters are kind of stepped up their game, too, haven't they, in Illinois and around Missouri, too, maybe more so than in previous years?
Yeah, yeah. I think that they put a little bit more effort in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I came from, and they're, like, I mean, are always up there.
Really?
Yeah.
Really. I'm hoping to be able to maybe make a trip and hang out with the recruiter up there in the coming months, but I know kind of the struggle this year, or the concern. And we'll, you know more, obviously, when these numbers come in. But the concern was if after last fall they're losing both the urban students coming in and also rural students coming in. Because, you know, there are a lot of Black kids who are concerned and their parents are concerned about what's going on at Mizzou. But, you know, other side of the coin is a lot of rural white students who aren't really sure what's up.
So you have a lot of interesting vignettes in your story and kind of like almost a mini profile, if you will, a really short one. And you interviewed this guy named Peyton Head. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Yeah. So he was a student body president last year. I think it was a one-year term, but it might have been two. So he graduated, but he was an activist in addition to being a student leader. He is also a Black man, and with that came a lot of stories of things that he personally had experienced on campus, and he discussed those openly with media and at events and things. And actually, I think one of his encounters that he discussed was is like on, I think, a timeline that will be in print with the story. It'll definitely be online. Maybe September of 2014 or 2015. I guess was walking, I think it was downtown Columbia, which is almost on campus, as you know, we all pretty much know. And he was, someone yelled a racial slur at him from a car.
Hmm.
Yeah. So he was pretty open about his experiences, but he also says in his vignette, you know, he's very proud of his alma mater and wants to see it flourish despite everything that happened.
What has Mizzou done to address the myriad of issues and concerns? I know when I was there, I saw racial, racial incidents that were definitely not okay. And I don't know that, has there been that much change? I'm trying to think of, like, what they've done. When I was there, this was an issue.
Yeah.
So what have they done, and will it really affect some change?
Were you there during the Cotton Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, to explain that, when I was there, some kids put cotton balls on the Black Cultural Center lawn.
Yeah, yeah. I know after talking to student leaders, Sean Earl, the student president, he was saying, you know, he's pretty pleased, despite the fact that it's interim leadership, which, you know, in general, we think of interim as being like a kind of sitting on your hands time, because what change can you really, yeah. So he said he's been very impressed. This kind of was part of a larger both system and campus effort to create this division of diversity, inclusion, and equity. And I might have the order of those words wrong, but... So that exists on Mizzou's campus, and the system hired a vice president of diversity and inclusion, mm-hmm. who is actually the interim leader of that campus, and they do this a lot. They have, like, people who kind of work for System A and campus. So Kevin McDonald, that new administrator, is now kind of overseeing this new division, which has been given a $1.5 million budget to do programming and really anything that they need that money for. And not only will that address concerns about race, but underneath of that division has the RSVP Center, which is, I think it's relationship or rape and sexual violence prevention. I can't remember what the R stands for, but that's been moved underneath the division. The LGBTQ organization has been moved under there. Mm-hmm. So it's more so than just race. It's like inclusion in many senses of the word. So that's kind of the biggest hope, I think, looking towards the new year. Otherwise, I know at some event later this year or later this month, August 31st on campus, they'll be talking about new initiatives. And I don't know what that means. Administrators weren't available to discuss much for the story, but I know that you know this is part of what Sean Earle calls a rebranding effort that he's seen a little bit of from administrators.
Interesting.
And the Alumni Association is growing. You write that too?
Yes. So that's another vignette. Talked to Erica Harrison, who is kind of she's the chairwoman of a new network. It's kind of new. It was dormant for a while, and she's breathing life back into it, her and a lot of other alum. Mm-hmm. It's the Black Alumni Network within the Alumni Association. So they've seen in their inaugural year 12.5% increase in membership among Black alumni.
That's cool.
It's very, very large. And she's got plans. I mean, they've already... They thought, like, let's just see if we can get some alum who are interested in, like, being mentors. Mm-hmm. She's thinking, oh, maybe I'll get 100. I mean, we're new, and, you mm-hmm. know, who knows? After everything that happened, people are still kind of wishy-washy about stuff. She got about 1,000 people who are like, yeah, I'll be a mentor, which is pretty incredible. I think it was about 1,000. It was a lot, way more than she expected.
Yeah.
So this what was, you know, supposed to be kind of a trial is now going to be a... probably a little bit bigger than she ever anticipated.
A full-blown program.
Yeah.
And then you also write that there's going to be a monthly Roar at Us event that's basically a town hall. I mean, do you see a lot of students participating in this, wanting their voices heard, or how do you see this working?
Well, I think the answer to that would have been different a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. But the last couple of town halls that I was able to be at when I covered higher ed were filled to the brim. I mean, people were packing the rooms to have conversations, have that FaceTime with, you know, then Chancellor Lofton and his administration. And these Roar at Us events will be hosted by the student government at Mizzou, and each one will be focused on a different issue. So I think their first one is about the alert system on campus, which people have taken issue with on wording and different issues. So that, and then diversity and inclusion will be one of the subjects. It's unclear what month that'll happen at, because they kind of want to go with the flow of what's happening on campus. Mm-hmm. And they'll bring administrators. So it'll be campus leaders and administrators who are relevant, depending on the subject. And it'll be a completely open town hall. And then after that, the next week, the administrators and the student leaders will get together to kind of discuss what concerns were brought up by students. And and from there, the end of that month, the end of whatever month, the end of each month, rather, they'll have like a newsletter that'll go out to all the whole student body saying, in case you missed it, this is what happened. Mm-hmm. And then we talked with administrators about your concerns, and this is the timeline that we developed together on addressing them, which is really interesting. It's I think, an attempt by students to really increase engagement.
So, Sam, when you were there, was nothing like that?
You know, there was talk about, you know, one thing I will say that has always stuck with me that I thought was so just pivotal in my life on how I interacted or just saw other people who came from different backgrounds. And it was one of these programs, like when you move in freshman year, you have to go to some events or people come in and talk to you and do stuff just to sort of get you acclimated with the campus. And so one of the things that they did that I just was so eye-opening as they had us all as freshmen, these two dorms, line up in a straight line, like horizontal, if that makes sense. And so they would say, okay, if you came from a family where you lived with both your parents, take a step forward. If you had a family, like a single parent family, take a step backwards. You know, if you were in extracurricular activities after school, take a step forward. If your mom was at, you know, if you had a parent who, one parent who worked, one parent who didn't, take a step forward. So it was sort of this idea where you saw, holy cow, you know, this kid has had to overcome a lot, whereas I kind of had privilege, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was a great experience to sort of, you know, I think when you're 18 years old, you don't really understand where some people have come from, what their experiences have been. So that was one of the things that has always stuck with me that I thought was really interesting. But then, you know, after the cotton ball incident, I remember, this is a while ago, so, but I remember the ideas about having classes about with diversity and inclusion. There was a lot of debate about the best way to do those things, but I hope that what I experienced in that first week of moving to freshman year, that group, it was a student-led group about diversity and inclusion, that was more impactful for me, and it was a good way to meet folks, too, and new friends. So, I don't know. I mean, that was, to me, very interesting, but I don't know. There was a lot of debate about whether to turn something like that into a class. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's going on now, but it'll be interesting to see what happens, and I wonder if that group is still around. I don't know what the name is or anything
like
that.
It might have just been like an effort from residential,
Yeah, it could be.
Where students really have an opportunity to kind of create a curriculum of sorts of their own,
Yeah.
They have to do some sort of program. Something to know, I can't remember if this is in the story, but the College of Arts and Sciences on Mizzou's campus is kind of a guinea pig, and they might have opted to do this, doing like a diversity mandate of sorts. So different classes will be marked as like, this will fulfill your requirement to have a diversity credit
or
however they're phrasing it.
Yeah, I think that was being debated while I was there.
Probably, yeah. Because, there's like writing enhanced classes, and you have all these options, and, for your, what's the word, not extracurricular, but your non-major related classes.
Yeah.
So that's going to be something they're working on as an attempt to, maybe see if that works, see if engagement and, if it's well received among students. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's it for this week. Thanks for joining us, Ashley. You had a lot going on and learning the new beat and getting this story together and a lot of background. So you can find Ashley's story and all of her stories, we should say. She has a lot of reporting that she packed into this Sunday's paper. You can find all that on this podcast online at stltoday.com or wherever you get your podcast, your favorite apps, whether that's iTunes, Google Play, whatever.
Podcruncher.
There you go. See you later. Thanks for listening.